the story of my life. No respect. I don't get no respect at all. The story of my life. No respect. I don't get no respect at all.
They couldn't score and fell flat, and the 40-shot on goal is a little deceiving. Yeah. And even though they had some really good opportunities, surprisingly, they need to play with that intensity. If those last 3-4 minutes, the Rangers sometimes don't play at their best level against lower-tier teams.
Here's Johnny!
Nope, this is Ranger Proud, the Ring Podcast with Ranger Proud, here on the Bleed Blue Show.
5 in a row feels good, doesn't it?
It sure does, and this is going to be a very apologetic side of the episode from me, RP. I was totally wrong. I will own up to my, I guess my sins, you could say. So it's going to be a running thing from my end all episode long, RP. I know you're thrilled. We'll have it's joyous times in Ranger Twitter probably, and definitely on the Ranger Proud Facebook page, right? You got Glenn with us. Man, we're going to have some fun. Now, Scott's on his way back from Winnipeg on a plane with Adam Graves as we speak. So he may or may not make the end of this episode. But we'll talk about it. It's going to be a really run thing today, RP. I mean, I'll start it off right now.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
All episode long, I'm sorry. I am thoroughly, thororoughly sorry, man. Thoroughly, thoroughly sorry, man. Yep, lay it on me.
Shame. Shame. Shame.
Lay it on, man.
Shame. Shame.
Yeah, all episode long, RP. We're going to talk about it, man. Let's get Glenn on and get his thoughts. Glenn, what's up, man? How you doing, man?
I'm doing great, Steve. How are you doing? How's everybody out there? And just give a quick shout out to the scary bloody clown who not only came home with another road win, but also managed to get himself quite a bit of face time on MSG last night.
Well, you know what? Before we do that, he actually had a message for you guys. He pre-recorded his thoughts, and he wants to get that on this episode just in case he was not able to make it. So if you guys don't mind, let me play what he said on the 5-0 road trip. That would be Scott, who was all over MSG Networks, the Rink Podcast with Ranger Proud, those guys here on this platform. What did he say, Scott?
Good evening, Bleed Blue crew. If you're listening to this, I am still in the air because Air Canada no longer knows how to function as an airline. But in any case, 5-0 road trip. I mean, this is just incredible. You know, first and foremost, let's give Glenn his props, because I remember last week when we were going around doing our predictions, most people were being realistic, 3-1-1, 4-1, 4-0-1, et cetera, et cetera. And in comes Glenn with his plucky, unrealistic optimism of, I don't see why we can't go 5-0. And my impression was like, all right, come on, like, can we keep it realistic here? Glenn was the only one who nailed it, and let's not, I know we're only 9 games in, but let's really examine just how huge it was to go 5-0. For one, this is great to see this early in the season, because even with good Ranger teams that end up having very good regular seasons, we're still usually like, you know, 3-2-3 at this point in the season, and then we start to go on a run. So it's great to see them doing it this early and, you know, just really making a statement here. And look at all the time zone changes here. And, you know, the NHL scheduling department, almost as bad as the NHL marketing department. So they sent them to the West Coast time, 3 hours. They won that. They send them back a time change to Mountain Time for the 2 games there, to Western time zone instead of going, you know, working their way east. They send them back to the West, get that hour back, or lose that hour again. They win there, and now over to the Central time zone for another 2-hour time change, and they managed to sweep all 5. I was kind of expecting a stinker, and had they laid a stinker last night in Winnipeg, that would have been more than justified, but they didn't. They were great. I could have lived with that, but you know, the team had other plans, and they finished it off in style, 5-0, scoring a late goal to tie it when, you know, things looked like they might have run out of gas, and they didn't. They turned it on. I thought it was over when they had that power play with about 10 minutes left and didn't score. I thought that was it, but they didn't. They got another one, and they cashed in. And beautiful penalty kill. And here we are, 5-0.
And those are Scott's thoughts. So, RP, we'll go to you. But let me say this real quick. What I think was really cool about this road trip, the stakeholders of this platform that was associated with the Bleed Blue show, DeJuan from the football side, who was actually at the Seattle game and got that win, right? And then Lauren, who was going to be on with us tonight, was unable to make it tonight because she got, you know, she was in Canada. She got sick out there on the way back to New York. She was at the three middle games, Edmonton, Calgary, Vancouver. So all three wins on that trip and left Sunday. And then Scott got the last win on the road trip with Winnipeg. So I thought that was cool from a Bleed Blue show, the Ring Podcast with Ranger Prowl, sports fan level, that we have somebody associated with our platform who are at all five games. But go ahead and continue on, sir. I just wanted to put that fun fact in there. Your thoughts on the five games. And well, actually, we talked about a couple of games before the road trip. So since Calgary, basically. And then we'll go to Glenn, and I'll continue my apology tour on the Ring Podcast with Ranger Prowl, West Coast 2 episode.
You know, just I don't even want to recap all the games. I think I'm more interested in here with Glenn after I make this comment. What were your three biggest surprises out of this five-game winning streak? For me, number one was the player Jonathan Quick with the shutout. Man, he shut everybody up right about how bad he looked in preseason. Two games, 2-0. He puts a solid win. I was really impressed with that. It was much needed. It kind of balanced out the whole trip for Shesterkin. So I was very impressed with that game that Quick put out there.
While you're on Quick, RP, before you go continue ahead. On, you know that fun fact, three qualifying games, he has the highest save percentage in the entire league. But
correct, I saw that. No, I saw that. He, you know something? He's shutting all the doubters down. You know, going out there, just doing his job. Apparently, he has a huge amount of respect in the locker room, as he should with being a three-time cup winner and all of his accolades. But very impressed with that. After that, I've really been impressed and love the way Truber has been playing. I don't know if he was hurt last year or not, but he's on a very, I don't want to say quietly, but his game is just taken to another level in my eye. He's just played very, very well. Yes, they all make mistakes here and there. That's hockey. But overall, I just like the way he's leading this team. The boys are following him. He's got that presence on the ice at any time. A big kick can change the game. And my number one surprise is the consistent play of Artemi Panarin. 9-point streak, some goals, some great passing. This guy came out with a chip on his shoulder after last season. A new coach said, I guess he feels he has to reprove himself too. And, you know, any five-game winning streak is big. Five games on the road is big. Something the franchise has never had before, a five-game road win streak in, you know, 98 years, 97 years, whatever it may be. Great way for that team to come together. I think they always say on the road, you really get to bond, and when you win, you really get to bond more. So this team is playing on all cylinders. They do have to transfer that back to home ice, which I don't think would be much of a problem. And, you know, it's only five games, but anytime you could put 10 points in the standings in a row, man, that's just a great way to start the season off, and I was really happy with that. What do you think, Glenn? What's your top three surprises, great things that you saw out of these five games?
Yeah, I think the first one is that, you know, over the course of this road trip, just more than an individual, just kind of the team discipline. You know, we keep hearing talking about the system, and you know, the fact that they've been able to pick it up so quickly and just play, I think, consistently in a disciplined way. Within the system, they all seem really happy about it. They all seem, you know, to understand that, you know, when they play that system, when they play well, they're going to win the majority of games. So, I mean, I think that's the first thing that, you know, not just the road trip, but even before a little bit, it was a little rocky. But, you know, I think just the discipline of playing, you know, within the system that they're, you know, pretty new to. The second thing I would say is the ability that they were able to come from behind and win, go ahead and hold the lead. You know, they were able to win in different ways. You know, first couple of games, they just gave up no goals, right? They gave up one in Seattle, one in Calgary. And you know, I think that was something that surprised me that, you know, because we had been talking about the defense the week before that, you know, maybe it's kind of worrying us a little bit. But, you know, then in the last couple of games, they gave up, you know, three in the last two games. But two in Winnipeg, three in Vancouver. But, you know, I think the fact that they were able to, you know, have the wins come in different ways. You never kind of felt like they were out of it when they were behind. And you felt real comfortable when they were ahead. So I think, you know, just the confidence that they seem to have that they can play any way and they can win any game kind of reminds me of two seasons ago. And then the third thing that I think surprised me is, and I know I shouldn't bring this up with Scott not here to interject, but I think Lafreniere has been noticeable in every game on this road trip. You know, they tried to put him on the right wing when Gallant was here, when Quinn was here, and they always gave up on it pretty quickly, said, he can't do it, he's not comfortable, it's not going to work, whatever. But I think Lafreniere seems committed to, and the organization seems committed to wanting him to be in the top six, which I think is correct, putting him on right wing, which I think had to happen. And for me, it was just the fact that I seemed to notice Lafreniere on the ice in all five games on the road trip. So for me, I think those are the three things that surprised me.
Yeah, I agree with all of that, too. Mr. Unbeliever, you have anything for us?
All episode long, man. I should go find a crow from the football show. But three things. Oh, the captain, obviously, the 5-0 is the surprise. That's number one. That's the number one answer on the Family Feud board right there. 5-0, man. Glenn nailed it. You heard Scott say it on his clip. I did not see that coming. I don't think I think Ranger fans say that. You know, we're going to go undefeated on this trip. They say that, but do they really mean it? Probably not. But the fact that what Scott said, it was really rings true, is the fact that the time zone changes. If you guys ever – I've been to the West Coast before, but the way they've done it, back and forth, fly to Seattle, go up into Calgary, Edmonton, back down to Vancouver. I think you lose an hour and then go to Winnipeg. It was actually going to spark my point about the schedule. I might as well say that now because it's all interrelated. They might as well have done a six-game road trip. The reason why I say that is they played the Wild on Saturday. That's near Winnipeg. They might as well – the NHL schedule, if you're going to do that long of a road trip, you might as well kept them in that same area. Go from Winnipeg to Minneapolis, play the Wild, and then play the Hurricanes at home. And then have like a four-game homestay. I'd rather have that. It made no sense to me. Do all those games, fly back and forth, go to Winnipeg, and then fly all the way back to New York to play the Hurricanes just to fly back to Minnesota. That's a lot of flying. You know what I'm saying? In a week span.
Yeah.
So 5-0 is one big surprise. Here's another surprise. I had a question for you about this. RP, without Googling or without looking at the stats, where the Rangers rank right now as a team in faceoffs? 3-2-1-3 He's right. They're currently third in the league, man. So that's one thing I've been noticing of winning draws and controlling the puck, doing a great job. That's a surprise. That's an area we've always been harping on for years. And my biggest concern, I've been harping about this for 3 weeks, to which why I wasn't confident, and I'll do it again. Listen, I was not confident after that Nashville game because of the defense.
Oh, no.
The defense showed up. Now, okay, now special teams-wise, they had that one letdown to Tyler Myers on a shorthanded goal. But outside of that, the defense, that's, you know, without McDavid, the shutout in Edmonton, fantastic. That was a revenge game for me, the way we looked at it. Because remember last year we went up there, and they embarrassed us with Connor McDavid splitting through the defenses and scoring on us like that. It was nice to get a nice little payback win a year later. But those are the three things. 5-0 on the road trip, face-off, winning face-offs, and the defense has been a lot better since that Nashville game. Those are my three surprises. And one more thing, Scott had another thought on the play. It may not be three points, but this clip is about a minute long, so I'll play what he thought on his player. That if it's not going to be Lafreniere, you already know who it's going to be about.
If there was one negative from the night, if I had to pick something, it was that nobody threw me a puck during practice. I mean, I was right there in these guys' faces. They were literally staring at me for 3 seconds at a time. Not one puck. I know I saw one of the clips on MSG where I'm, like, clapping my hands together and, you know, I'm begging for a puck for the entire 15-minute practice period, and nobody threw it. The guy next to me, Panarin, threw a stick to him. He wrote a big sign, wished him a happy birthday in Russian writing, threw him a stick. That's probably what I should have done. Actually, the stick kind of went to me by accident, but I wasn't going to be a dick about it. You know, the guy obviously earned the stick, so maybe I'll up my game for next time. Kreider specifically made eye contact with me about 6 times during the practice, still did not throw me a stick, so I'm thinking that somebody leaked the tapes from 3 years ago, my Kreider rants. I'm thinking somebody here on this the tapes, and that's why he did not throw me a puck last night. So whoever did that, I hold you personally responsible.
So he had to put his jabbing on number 20, RP, and we got to go there because right now our guy, CK20, tops in the league of power play goals. And is it coming back full circle from 2 seasons ago, RP? Are we going back to that track on Chris Kreider?
I tell you, maybe we are. He's got, you know, last year we noticed he was having a lot of trouble deflecting pucks in front of the net for whatever reason, which I think the year before he had 21 goals alone on deflections. But in the Winnipeg game, that deflection to tie the game up from the Fox shot was just – it was just a thing of beauty. He's so confident when he's standing in front of a guy winding up and he knows exactly what he wants to do. And I know he practices it nonstop during practices. I mean, I really, his confidence is just glowing. I personally think he got Zibanejad back on, you know, back in groove. He stayed consistent with them and that started, you know, the only player that hasn't really done a lot in the top nine is Blake Wheeler. And he even admitted, I read yesterday before his return to Winnipeg that it's just been a bigger adjustment period than he even thought. 13 years in Winnipeg, coming to the East, and also, you know, I give him a little bit of pass in that. He's playing well. He's just not putting the points up that we were all anticipating. But, you know, back he was saying with Kreider, he's at another level right now. You can see the team just follows him. You know, when he scores like that, he scores that goal last night, and you're like, damn, we're going to win this in overtime. Even when Lindgren took the late penalty, and it was a minute and 18 power play in the overtime period, you never felt that Winnipeg was going to score. Even though they had the pressure and all, it was just a feeling that I had. They just it's like almost how it felt the year we, you know, the Gallants first year. You just felt that in any circumstance, these guys are always in the game. And that's really all that you can ask of. They're in the game from beginning to end, especially on this road trip. They've been able to put it together, and there hasn't been one, other than Panarin's point streak, it's been a real team effort. You know, Braden Schneider's been throwing the body like a little Trouba lately. He's been playing so well. You know, Miller picked up his game, scored a big goal the other night. You know, Fox is just doing incredible stuff on a power play. He's leading defensemen in points. Lindgren is Lindgren. You don't really have to say anything about that. So, I mean, all of them on the blue line, and, you know, Steve and I always on the defense, how it's got to get better. Well, it got a lot better. I hope they can keep this consistency up, because once everybody starts scoring, once Hedo can find a back of the net, though he's been getting assists and playing very well, these guys are going to be a real dangerous team to play if they're playing like this now. If they, like Glenn said, if they found how the system works to their advantage and they're comfortable doing that 1-3-1 defense, they're comfortable in the offensive zone, they all backtrack and they backtrack, excuse me, and this north-south system that Laviolette is just pounding into them, how important it is. They're a lot of fun to watch, and I really, you don't want to get too overbearing. You know, it's a great win streak, but there's a lot of games left in the season. I mean, we've only played 9 games. There's a long way to go, but you can't. We always talk about losing important points early in the season, and the Rangers, other than that Nashville game, really haven't done that.
Now, can I ask you real quick, RP, before you go to Glenn? What was your favorite game of the road trip? A little softball question.
Ooh, the Edmonton game and the Vancouver game. They're close. You know, that Vancouver game, you had said this last week, Vancouver was really good. I think they were undefeated at home, and they had outscored their opponents 13-1 going into that Ranger game. And that was an up-and-down seesaw game, and there's a lot of specialty teams, a lot of bad penalties by the Rangers. I think they took 6 minor penalties. You know, that you can't give Vancouver all those opportunities. Of course, the ex-Ranger JT Miller scores on us, but that's nothing, no big surprise. But the way they kept battling back and found a way to win, that's what the good teams do, even against Winnipeg. Winnipeg isn't one of the better teams in the league, though they played the Rangers very well. But that's a game, even though it's the end of the road trip, even though it was that 5th different time zone or back and forth, they find a way to win games that they should win. So I think that I really like that shutout. I know McDavid wasn't in the game, but, you know, Dreisaitl was in the game. So they still are a power to reckon with. And to shut them out, I think that set the tone for the rest of the trip.
Okay, Glenn, what's your thoughts and your favorite game of the trip and any additional thoughts?
You know, Steve and RP, I would say my 2 favorite games from both a Ranger and a hockey standpoint was the Vancouver game. I thought the Vancouver game was a great game. And, you know, Steve, before they had played that game, I thought that was the one game I think we had talked about after the Edmonton game. That was the one game that was left that I thought they had a chance of losing because Vancouver is pretty good. The way they battled in that game, I mean, that was a game that just went back and forth the whole game, and they found a way to win that game. And then the other game that I really liked, believe it or not, was the first game out in Seattle. Because I was hoping that this road trip coming so early in the season would give the guys a chance to really bond and spend time together talk about how they want to play and how it's a different season and everything. And the Seattle game to me, that was kind of a chippy game. And there were some instances where guys had to stick up for other guys. There was a lot of pushing and shoving and, getting in between things. And so to me, I liked the Seattle game because that showed me that this team is really bonded, that they like each other. They like the way they're playing. They're playing for each other. So for me, those were my 2 favorite games on the road trip. The other thing I want to mention is, you know, we talked about how on this road trip, the defense and the faceoffs and Jonathan Quick. And, when Laviolette was hired, I think we all were kind of, the best out of a bad lot. But from a coaching standpoint, I mean, he's got these guys playing right off the bat. And, you know, we talked about how he wanted the whole season to be a prep for the playoffs, he wanted this team looking forward right from the beginning. And he's got them playing that way. And, you know, we talk about the defense, we talk about the faceoffs, we talk about Jonathan Quick, how well he's played. And to me, the answers to that are Phil Housley, Michael Pekka, and Benoit Allaire. I don't think it's a coincidence that Pekka was such a good face-off guy when he played and that this team is up in the upper echelon of winning face-offs. I think he's making a difference. Now, you know, Nick Bonino was always a good face-off guy. Trocheck was. So, You know, they had guys that are good face-off guys, but even Mika is winning about 50% of his face-offs, which that wasn't always the case. So I think Peck has got something to do with that. Obviously, Phil Housley being a great defenseman, you would expect him to have an effect on the defense. But something that Valiquette said on I think one of the post games, where he talked about how Jonathan Quick had always kind of played outside the crease and would kind of be, you know, not really scrambling around, but, you know, he was more, you know, moving around outside the crease. And Benoit Allaire is probably having an effect of keeping him in the crease, which is making it easier for him to go to side to side and also just to line up with the shooter. And he also mentioned that when Henrik first came over, Henrik was that way too. He played outside the crease a lot. And that Benoit Allaire kind of got him to play a little more in tight, you know, in the crease, closer to the net. So I think that, you know, with Jonathan Quick, it might be the Benoit Allaire effect. You know, we were all worried in the preseason how he played. We were like, oh, my God, this might not work out. But, you know, as soon as the bell rung when the season started, Quick is playing like he was 12 years ago. So I think Benoit Allaire has got something to do with that. And I got to give credit to Laviolette for bringing these guys in, because I think they've had a lot to do with the success of the team early on as well. So just kind of a shout out to the coaching staff.
Yeah.
All right, cool. I'll quickly answer this question. I would have said the Vancouver game, so we watched that Winnipeg game last night. And the reason I go Winnipeg is down 2-1. They could have said, you know, rest of the road trip. They're kind of playing with some house money. But like RP said earlier, and is the reason why it's my favorite game, is they choose the fight. They choose the tie. Even down with adversity with the Lindgren tripping on Appleton, they play with the man disadvantage into at the end of regulation into the overtime. They fought off the power play from the Jets, and they kept their composure. They looked real comfortable despite Nikolai Ehlers' attack. He was in attack mode all night, and they fought that off very well. And they took their time and they set up Zibanejad. In games, it's like what Scott said, like the teams in the past would have kind of like, well, we got a few wins or we're off to, you know, we're done. We did our job. They finished the job. They came back with, they withhold the storm and they finished the job. I thought that was fantastic. I'm going to go Winnipeg was probably my favorite game of them all. They could have mailed it in and they chose not to. And I thought that shows a lot of resilience. Like, they were not playing. That really, really opened my eyes. I will say this, RP, I'll come back to this later. Sky had a couple of thoughts, and I see you've got DeJuan with us. He wants to talk about his experience with the Seattle game. But he had a nice experience with the Winnipeg fans. Let Scott fire off on his last clip.
So this was my first time in Winnipeg, and that completes the Canadian circuit. I have now seen the Rangers in every Canadian city, and 4-2-1 overall in the Western provinces. This is just such a great, great fan base. I know that we've been giving them some crap because they're kind of like Ottawa in the fact that they're not really going. Attendance is a problem unless they're really good, and they're going to be average at best this year. Everybody knows it, so their ticket sales were not great. But the place was packed. It was great, great time. Met a lot of really great people, you know, got dressed. The costume probably certainly helped, you know, as an icebreaker and whatnot. But everyone I met was just so, so nice. You know, you get that more out west than you do in not to say that, you know, there's not great people in Toronto and Montreal, but the western provinces, the people are just so welcoming. You meet a lot of people in Ranger jerseys that are local, and there are a bunch that drove up from North Dakota. Believe it or not, several groups that drove up from North Dakota that are Ranger fans for some reason. Really, really, really great people. And then the locals, when they find out that you actually flew in from New Jersey at 6 a.m, they're shocked. You know, I remember getting that in Calgary and Edmonton as well. They're just shocked and so welcoming. You know, really, really great people. Of course, the costume thing, you know, I know was great. I know I was all over the place on the Rangers page and whatnot, and MSG Network, and you know, that's why I do it, for the attention. It was a lot of fun. It really was. And those seats, you know, while it was great for the you know, seeing the players up front, I do not recommend sitting first row behind the bench, because you can't see anything. There's a lot of straining around the you know, the stanchions and the pylons and whatnot, and you know, it's there were a couple Ranger goals were toward the left side of me where I didn't know they scored until I saw the players celebrating. It was kind of like being at the Winter Classic in Wrigley, like that. But so yeah, the novelty of those seats wears off pretty quick, but you know, I wouldn't have had it any other way. It was an awesome night.
All right, that was Scott's final quiz, RP and Glenn. Let's bring on DeJuan, who was at the Seattle game. Thank you for the win, homie. And how was the thoughts being at Pledge Climate Arena, man? What was your thoughts on that, man? It was exciting, huh? I like the scoreboards in there, huh?
Hey, can you hear me, man?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm in the barbershop getting a haircut, man. I'm getting a safe off. Nah, but being at that game, man, that was a dope experience, man. First time there at Climate Pledge and everything.
The arena.
I like the arena. It's good setup and everything. I know as told me before, it was like redone or whatever. Or fixed up or whatever.
Are we getting a lot of feedback? Hold on. We'll come back to you. We'll come back to you. Oh, we're getting a lot of clipping noise in the background. Hold on. We'll come back to you. Hold on. We'll come back to you in a few minutes. Hold on. We got a lot of clipper noise in the background. But RP, shout out to DeJuan, who's at the Seattle game getting his haircut at the shop. Let me see. You heard what Scott said. Anything else? Now, RP, I do want to bring to your attention what there's no way they could keep this up. If you could keep this up, then you got a championship team on your roster, championship situation. They're both top 10 as far as the power play right now and the penalty kill. No way they could keep that up. I doubt that. There's no way. That's too much to ask for, right? But the Rangers are middle of the pack in scoring, which I think there would be anyway. But it's the defense for me, my guy. It's the defense. They turn that around, we could do some things. And right now, defensively, their goals against is second in the league. Second! Man, you know I'm glowing, man. I'm glowing. Your thoughts, RP, and anything else like that?
No, I hear that. When you look at their numbers, they were 13th in penalty killing when the road trip started. And now I'm just going through their numbers, and I just had it, and then I got distracted. Sorry. And now they've moved up to 11th. They're second in the league on the power play, which is phenomenal. We already talked about their faceoff percentage. So can they keep it up? You like to say consistent. So like you said, if you can try to keep power play penalty killing in the top 10, I don't know if they can keep it up. I know I like what I see early on. I think they're going to pick up. Sometimes teams pick up bad habits early on. They're picking up good habits early on. They're just playing as a five-man unit whenever they're on the ice. They sort of seem to know where each guy is going, not just with the forwards, but with the forwards and the defensemen. You know, you look at what Adam Fox is doing right now. He's racking up points. He's playing like he – early on, yes, but he's playing like he played the year he won the Norris. He's got a lot of confidence, momentum going. And like you always say, this team is going to – really needs to rely heavily on the defense, and which has Sturken back in net is always a huge advantage. I just like how they're more of a five-man unit now in these nine games than probably all of last season, and that's huge. So you just want to, you know, it's once again, you know, you're not going to win every game. You're going to have you try to keep the losses, you know, no more than two games in a row. Try to stay out of the quicksand and keep picking yourselves up. But right now they have a foundation to really have a good season. Long way to go, but, you know, for now, you have to enjoy it. You have to enjoy it. There's nothing really to knock. There's nothing really to rip apart. You know, Mika Zibanejad said it best the other night when he said they were determined to win that fifth game, not just for the record, just to complete a good road trip. They wanted to come home with a good taste in their mouth, you know. And like you said, they could have just said, oh, well, we won four and we're good. Or when they made it into overtime, well, you know, we got 1 point, so that's 9 out of 10 points, which would have been an incredible road trip. You know, once they went into overtime, you're like, you're at worst 4-0-1 on a five-game stand. It's incredible. But for them, to, for him to score that goal with 25 seconds left, it showed a lot of determination and commitment that we haven't seen in a while.
If, quick fun fact, you know who's top 10 right now on the Rangers? Top 10 in the league in hits? 3, 2, 1.
Kruger.
No, nope. That would be a no. Will Cooley.
No, I don't think. Is it Cooley? Cooley. I was going to say that.
It is. Yeah, hey. Putting out the physicality, man. I mean, it's a team effort, man. You get scoring, you get the defense. And I do have my thoughts. We'll come back to that. But, Glenn, anything else you'd like to add on what we're saying or anything else you'd like to add or bring up? And then I'll continue my apology tour and we'll try to get DeJuan back on.
Well, yeah, I mean, first thing I'll say, Steve, and I think I messaged you this too, there's no need for apologies when they go 5-0. I mean, you know, if you said they were going to go 5-0 and they went 0-5, you know, then maybe you need to apologize. But there's no apologies for 5-0. I'm very happy with it. You know, I mean,
because, I mean, could you blame me after Nashville? Could you blame me, though, like, after we saw that? Like,
no.
Not at all. They were horrible after Nashville. We had more questions than we had more fear going into that five game set after that Nashville game. But that just shows that was just one bad game.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. You know, it's not going to be the only time it happens this season.
Okay.
You know, and the thing that stood out to me when you guys were just talking about your favorite, you know, what favorite games you had, I mean, nobody mentioned the Calgary game, but I mean, it goes to show that there was something good to come out of every game because we all picked different games. You know, there were good things to come out of each of those games, I think. You know, again, we got to cool the jets a little bit. We're 9 games into the season. But, you know, I'm not so quick to say that they can't keep this up. You know, if you look at the roster, you look at the way they're playing, the goaltending, you've got former All-Stars who are playing like All-Stars. They're playing up to their level. You know, we'd have to go back to the tapes, but I think that, you know, I had mentioned that I thought they're going to win the division. And most of that was probably just to be different from you guys because you were all picking Calgary or Carolina and Devils. So I just thought, I'll go with the Rangers. But I think they can keep this up. I mean, the top to bottom, this is a very good team. And, you know, we talked about the depth that they have, you know, in the bottom six even too. I mean, Cooley doesn't look like a rookie at all. And, you know, you say he's leading the team in hits. Everybody is contributing what they need to contribute to me. Everybody's playing their role. Fox is you know, has got the most points of a defenseman in the NHL right now. He's playing the way he's supposed to play. And, boy, I'll tell you, on a couple of those passes for goals, man, the vision that he's got on the ice is – not too many players have that, and he's just impressing me so much in the first 9 games of the season with the way he's finding guys wide open. The one to Mika's first goal, you know, it's just he's finding guys that are open, and guys are finding open space as well. So to me, everybody is playing up to their capability. I don't think anybody is really playing over their head. And they're playing the roles that they're meant to play on this team. So, for me, that's very encouraging to say, why can't this continue?
Well, what I mean by continue, I'm talking about top 10 as far as the special teams. Like that's a very difficult feat, man. I mean, something's got to give over 82, right? And then whatever, we can't foresee an injury here or there.
Right.
I don't know, man.
Right.
That's really a tall task, man. It's just great to see that currently right now. I mean, even with expectations with the most delusional Ranger fan, I can't really expect that. I don't think that. I don't know, but if you could just hang around like defense and keep your engagement, because I don't think this team is a top 10 offensive team, but if you could still stay middle of the pack offensively, like 15th to 18th or something like that. And then defensively, sure enough, I think that's where they that's what bothered me since the start of the season. Shesterkin, outside of the anomaly game with at Columbus and then also the Nashville game, he's done his job. And let's see if he can continue to do his job, especially with the Hurricanes coming, the Wild. So this is a nice test, too, as well, the next two games, RP. And then we'll have Detroit next Tuesday on a post game. I'm sorry. I forgot the – hey, hold on.
Shame.
Yeah. It's all episode long, man. So, but outside of it's happy times, RP. What, 2-3 weeks ago, we kind of pissed you off with the pessimism, man. Like, it's a whole 180, man. All you had to do was play better defense, baby. We back on board. We back on board.
Yeah, well, you know something? If that's all it took, yes, I was a little down after those couple of podcasts. But you know something? That's what winning does. It changes everybody's outlook. But it does give the team a direction. I mean, I think the winning streak shows fans what LaViolette's trying to do. Because, you know LaViolette from coaching all these other teams. But you only see him once, twice, depending on where he is, three times a year. And you don't really pay attention to the coach when the Capitals came into town. You're paying attention to Ovechkin and T.J. Oshie and that kind of deal. But now you get him behind our bench, and you really see what he's trying to instill in his system and his idea of what winning sacrifices need to win in a system that if he feels they can inject into the players and they buy in, which apparently they have, this is what a coach is supposed to do. And I'm not knocking Gallant. When Gallant got hired, I was a big fan of it. But that was the same thing. Over two seasons, you sort of saw there wasn't really much of a forechecking system. There wasn't much of a defensive scheme. There wasn't much neutral zone play, like what he wanted and all. It was more or less just go do your job. You've been playing hockey a long time. And sometimes everyone needs to surround something, an idea of what needs to be done. And LaViolette's brought that in. And we've seen that over 9 games. Yeah, there's a lot more hockey to be played. But I really like how this whole team is just bought into what the whole coaching staff, not just LaViolette, has brought in. And like Glenn said, these guys can play a significant part of the season winning a lot of hockey games. You know, we're going to have those ups and downs. We're not going to win every game the rest of the season. We're going to have a bunch of those Nashville games, and you're like, what the hell is going on tonight? But you just try to eliminate 2-3-game losses. I think a couple of years ago in Gallant's first year, what was it, Steve? The Rangers didn't lose more than 2 games in a row the entire season. That's what you need. That's consistency. If you lose, you pick yourself up, and you win 2-3 more games after that. Because you're not going to go undefeated. Let's keep it real as possible. They just need to be consistent game in and game out. Even, you're going to lose good games, right? We've talked about that. Sometimes you lose a 3-2 game like, man, that was a good hockey game, and we just, an extra power play goal or a stupid shorthanded goal, whatever it may be, and you end up on the wrong side. Doesn't mean you played a bad hockey game. So I think here, if we could avoid more of the Nashville games and take everything else that came around it, I think they're gonna be all right. And like you said, you just got to keep doing it game in and game out. But, another stat I read, I don't think the Rangers have another start time after 8 o'clock until, like, February. Because they got this whole West Coast trip out of the way. Now the travel favors them. They got the hard part done, and they came out on top.
Yeah, I was going to say
that.
Take
it off. Yeah, I mean, there'll be some other – there'll just be stiffer competition, don't get me wrong, but – that hard part. Normally, the Rangers play this West Coast trip in February.
Right,
here,
right.
I think it was a break. I think making them go on the road and for 2 weeks, and they really got to know who they are and what the coaching staff wants. And they had, from reading the beat writers, they have very intense practices. Sometimes they have 2-hour practices, which isn't all that common in the league anymore. But they said LaViolette's been very vocal on what he wants, and he'll swap a practice and show them on the ice, this is how you're supposed to do this. So the practices have a little bit more of a learning curve to them than a regular practice. But so far, you can't argue with that with the results that we've had.
I would like to say, what are your thoughts? Are people for going to Glenn? And then get some final thoughts after that. As far as the schedule, why not made it a 6-game road trip and finish it off in Minnesota? I don't like. There's a lot of flying back and forth. I can understand, okay, all the way up in Canada, Seattle, the first leg, and you do your tour of Canada, the Western Canada. And I like to see, like to have Glenn speak on it because he's done it before, so he gives us a first thoughts on that, you know, firsthand experience. But why not just okay after Winnipeg, might as well go to Minnesota. It's right there, and then have your home stand or whatever. I just think that's a lot of back and forth flight, even if it's not the winner. You know what I'm saying?
It's a lot. I mean, there are different factors. Maybe Minnesota's home rink didn't have dates available. Maybe after 2 weeks, they just said, we're going to bring the Rangers home for a game, have a couple of days off, play a home game, and then fly out for one. And then they come back and they're home against the Detroit on Tuesday. There's, you know, the NHL schedule's got so many games to schedule. There's probably a whole bunch of factors why they didn't make it one more. 6-game road trip is a long road trip. So it would have been, what, another 4 days out between whenever the next game would have been and then travel home. So I don't think there's much rhyme or rhythm to it. I don't think it bothers the players as much as it would bother us, which is what they do. You know, they're home now. They don't play in Minnesota to Saturday night. We play Thursday night against the Hurricanes. They don't have to fly out until Friday morning. They're home for a week. I don't think it's that big a deal.
All right. We'll go to Glenn. Now, Glenn, your thoughts getting that West Coast trip out of the – or Western Canada trip out of the way. And now, when you went, was that in the middle of winter? Or what time of the year when you did your –
Actually, I was in Calgary for New Year's, so it was the week after Christmas. Hit Vancouver first, that was the first game, and then drove to Edmonton for the second game, and then Calgary for the third game, which was, like I said, on New Year's, I want to say 1996, maybe. It was a great trip, and like Scott said, too, the people out in the western provinces are tremendous. Even in Edmonton, where, you know, at that point, I'm talking about, you know, the mid-90s, where they had just come off winning all those cups. You thought they might be a little snooty, but they weren't at all. They were great. They were very welcoming. I remember having lots of great conversations with people there, both just about the Oiler dynasty and also just hockey in general. I only did that was just a 3-game trip at that time. So it wasn't a long one, a 5-game trip, it was a great trip. It was a great experience to go to some of those places. And, like Scott, that kind of finished off my, other than Winnipeg, never got to Winnipeg. But, other than that, that kind of finished off my tour of the Canadian cities as well. One thing I would like to, Steve, you had said that you thought that maybe as an offensive team they can't keep up. I would say this, and correct me if I'm wrong, RP, on the numbers here. I'm just doing this off the top of my head. Hedl's got no goals. Kako's got one, maybe. If he did, I don't remember it. Wheeler's got no goals. Mika just got his first two. This team is 7-2 with a number of guys scored one goal or no goals. So, yeah, you're probably going to have some, periods where Kreider doesn't score for a couple of games or, Panarin. But, yeah, I just did a little quick math. Panarin's on a pace for 126 points. Do we think he's going to do that? Probably not. But will we be surprised if he got 100 or 105? I mean, he had 95 last year. So
right.
I don't see, I mean, he's on a good stretch right now, but it's not an unconscious stretch that, you say there's no way he can maintain this. So I would kind of say that, there is a possibility for this team to be better offensively because you got a bunch of guys that really haven't contributed in goals so far. So once those guys kick it in a little bit, they'll probably, be able to fill in the blanks when, somebody's like a Kreider or a Mika or even Panarin maybe is not scoring. So I think this team could actually be better offensively than they've been. The other thing I want to mention is, you know, we were talking about the defense, and I think that the under-the-radar acquisition of Gustafson has really been, you know, something that's maybe more important than people would look at on the surface. I mean, I think he's the best sixth defenseman that the Rangers have had in the past few years, and there's always been that spot where, you know, who's going to play there? Try this guy, try that guy, you know, a bunch of different guys coming and going, the Ben Harpers and Zach Jones and all these guys. And I just thought Gustafson's played very well. And if I remember, I think he's got two goals already too. So I think he was, you know, an acquisition that people wouldn't really look at, but I think he's really contributed to the cause as well.
Yeah, he had that goal in that Calgary game. What was about the goal he had in the season? Was it Buffalo or Columbus? Probably a Columbus game. That sounds about right. I think he had scored in that.
Yeah, he's got two. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, I do remember the Calgary. He had that goal, yeah, in the middle of that game. Yeah, so, yeah, he's played well. He's a very good sign. And that's a guy that Lafreniere is very comfortable with. Oh, before we go final calls, we got DeJuan back, bring him back on. Yeah, you want to sound off on how your experience, man, how it was?
Yeah, man. My bad to drop off for a minute so you can finish chopping me up on my head and shape up. But, yeah, man, my experience was great. Like I said, the arena itself, man, dope arena. No, I like the layout of the arena. Definitely lots of food options. As far as on the in the actual arena playing area, the two scoreboards, man, that was definitely different. I was looking like, I've never seen that before, man. And then to see an actual live hockey game is definitely different from watching it on TV. So that was
it was
great.
Yeah, it's definitely. Now, can you give us one more your thoughts before we're going to go into the final thoughts? But you were at that game. That's the game where the lights got dim early in the beginning. What happened? Can you tell us what happened? Like, the lights going low in that arena in the first period?
At first, I didn't know what happened, but then they said it was something with the lighting or something like that. So, like, halfway through the first period, they switched sides. Then halfway through the second period, they switched sides again, and then they did the same thing in the third period. So it kind of threw the whole game off. It was like weird. I thought, I've never seen that before. Well, they just switched sides because the lighting was messed up. Well, they said they had fixed it or something like that, but to be fair or whatever, they had to keep switching sides or something like that. Because I think a lot of the fans were confused, like, why are we switching sides? Why is it looking big holes up? Like, I was going, like, not even a couple minutes into the game. And then we found out why that was. So, I mean, it's still a good game. It was just weird how everything went.
Right. I mean, you kicked off the road trip with a win. We appreciate you, man. I'm glad you enjoyed it, man. It's definitely a nice arena with the two scoreboards. I went there last year. And like I said, it's definitely better in person. The TV doesn't do it justice. That's arguments I've been having with Ranger Proud for years, man. I wish they did the TV experience a little bit better, but in-game is nothing like it, man. It's good to be with those, you know, those loud fans, and especially in the season that they came off with. We definitely thank you for sharing that experience, man, bringing us that first win of the 5-game road trip.
Yeah, man, that was a great one. I believe that game, that was Jonathan Quick's first game starting, I think. Or the second?
He came in the Nashville game. He came in reserve behind Shesterkin in reserve, and then he got the shutout. Oh, not the shutout, but he got the win in Seattle. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The
man,
Hall of Famer, Jonathan Quick. Oh, speaking of Hall of Fame, we got to talk about that. RP has our cross. We got to talk about that Hall of Fame with Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I mean, Duan, man, thanks, man, because we're going to wrap it up. We're going to get some final thoughts, and we appreciate your thoughts, man. We get the fan experience, man, at the end.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, shout-out to Duan, man. And him is, you know, Lauren couldn't make the episode. I think Lauren may come on next time. She was at the three middle games, the games Glenn has done in the past, and Scott. And then Scott, you know, couldn't make it tonight, but he had the clips ready for us, ready to go. But RP, your final you kick us off with final thoughts if you want, or say anything before, and then I could go to final thoughts, Glenn, and then we'll finalize it with you, RP. Any else you'd like to say before we go to final thoughts, RP?
Yeah, just two things. I just saw that
Boston Bruins, Charlie McAvoy, got suspended for a real cheap shot. He got a 4-game suspension. He hit Emma Lawson of Florida, and I saw a replay. And you want to know something? They got to get that crap out of the game. And I'm a huge McAvoy fan. He's from Long Island. I followed him. Great hockey player. But they got to get that crap out of the game because he hit that guy with his shoulder. The puck wasn't even there in front of the net, and, man, I thought he was knocked out. It was a real, real nasty hit. So I was glad to see the league's been coming down a little bit harder on suspensions. And it has nothing to do with the money. It has to do with hurting the team that a top player is going to be out. And I think the league has finally understood that. When you suspend the guy, it's not about, well, taking money out of his pocket because these guys are making a lot of money. But it's hurting the team defensively, in this case the Bruins, losing a McAvoy for 4 games. So kudos to them because that was a real, real nasty hit. And then on the opposite, the total opposite, and I'm sure you guys saw this, Henrik Lundqvist is going to be playing in the Hall of Fame game on November 12th, I believe it is. And they showed him taking some shots yesterday. And, man, it was great to see him with the pads on again in net, wearing his Ranger warm-up jersey and his really exquisite Hall of Fame pads that he had specifically made for the game. So, yeah, that was a lot of fun to see. It was good to see him back in net. So I hope they're televising that game on one of these networks because that would be really great to see.
All right. Glenn, final thoughts? Then our final thoughts after that, and then we'll go RP. He'll close us out. Glenn, anything else you want to – your final thoughts, Glenn?
Yeah, I'll just quickly say something that maybe we can talk about in the coming weeks. You know, we talked about, again, with the Rangers, can they keep this up? And I'm looking at the standings. The Rangers have the third most points in the league right now. The first is Vegas, who is 9-0-1. Second is the Bruins, who are 8-0-1. And what I would say is, you know, do we think those two teams can keep it up? Vegas probably can because of the division they're in. Boston is actually surprising me after losing Bergeron and Krejci that they're off to the start that they're off, but they're, you know, not giving up any goals, and that's how they're doing it, and you know, in a very tough division. So again, the Rangers are also in a very tough division, but you know, I would say if you look at Boston, other than Pastrnak, and you look at Vegas, who, you know, if you want to call Eichel a superstar, they don't have a ton of superstars either. I don't see why the Rangers can't be one of the top five teams in the league and win this division. So, you know, maybe that's something we can talk about next week. I know we'll talk about it in the coming months. And but I don't see any reason why they can't do what those other two teams would be doing. And then my last question is, since RP brought up Henrik, have any of you guys tried the Henrik's new cologne?
No, I haven't.
No, I have not. You know what, Glenn? Shout out to you on that. Because I was going to bring up, you know, I said this yesterday. We had an episode with all the sports, soccer, football, basketball, even in the NHL. And I touched on what Boston was doing currently. I think they could keep it up, but I don't think they're going to be on a pace like they were last year. But what was surprising to me was the Montreal Canadiens, because I saw, and I brought it up on yesterday's episode when I talked on the NHL segment of their win on in the shootout over Winnipeg. Cole Caulfield is playing very good hockey. They're tied for second in that division. That was actually a little surprising to me. And I think the Atlantic actually has a quality depth, very good teams. Even Buffalo is solid. They're last place right now. I said that Toronto's going to win that division. It ain't going to be easy, but I think they got some good teams in there. We're going to see Detroit next week, and I saw their game versus Calgary, and they beat up on them like a week ago or whatever. But the Atlantic, I think, got some very good teams, man. I think they have top to bottom. There's no easy night in the office, and I brought this up yesterday as well, Glenn and RP. Ottawa could score. They're like top three in scoring. So yeah, if you're thinking you're just going to go in there and just, okay, I'm going to get our three little goals or whatever, like, you're going to have to outscore them. They're top three in scoring as well. They've been lightening it up as well. But RP, like, I say it again one more time.
Shame.
I apologize. It was just all about the defense, bro. That, and I didn't mean to upset you guys last week, a couple of weeks ago. Figure out the defense, and you can keep that up. All good here, man. So that is my final thoughts. I can't wait till next week when we pick this up and on the Detroit Red Wings on a post game. But RP, you're close this out, man.
Yeah, you want to know something? It's a great streak. They're playing well. Our November schedule is tough. We played Detroit twice. Detroit, to me, is one of the most surprising teams in the league right now. They're in second place in the division. They're 6-3-1. We're going to play them this week and then the last game in November. The schedule, we were talking really quick about it, guys. The schedule is weird. We played Minnesota, the Wild, both the games of the season this month. I think we're going to wrap up both games at Detroit this month. So it's the schedule is going to be tough, but I tell you, I like where we're at. I have all the confidence in them right now. The defense is playing very well. Like Glenn said, when these other guys start scoring, we're going to be a real dangerous team. So I'm just going to enjoy the ride while we can, because overall, it's been a real shitty time for New York sports, Mets, Yankees, Giants, Jets. So it's nice to be talking about positive on a New York team, so I really hope they keep it up. Keep following me on Ranger Proud, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and my writing along with my new writers on Empire Sports Media. I appreciate all the feedback, and I look forward to talking to you guys again next Tuesday.
All right, guys, until next Tuesday, RP, Glenn, and myself, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, post-game next week versus the Red Wings. Look forward to that. Sangre Aso, ladies and gentlemen. Bleed blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleed blue, 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 bleed blue.